marked Sunday's midterm elections in Mexico after protesters and activists boycotted the polls and protested against the electoral process. The National Electoral Institute claimed Sunday that the elections had developed peacefully and positively despite violent incidents. National Electoral Institute officials claimed that violent incidents were isolated and happened only in the states of Oaxaca, Chiapas, and Guerrero. However, death, arrests, and violence were also registered in the states of Puebla, Yucatán, Chihuahua, and Michoacán. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto's ruling Institutional Revolutionary Party, PRI, and its political allies are close to winning a small working majority in the lower house of Congress, although it is still at risk of falling short, the National Electoral Institute announced late Sunday.
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
This is APNS Public Radio.
The opinions expressed in dispatches represent the analysis of the participating editors and may not necessarily reflect the group positions of the ANG or its public news wires.
Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid from The Horn, headonradionetwork.com, and you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Okay, welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. This is the Angry Indian. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk on the scandal that has really just erupted over at the NAACP. In terms of Ms. Rachel Dozal, it turns out that she has been living for the past decade, or actually more than a decade, as, well, she's saying black now that she's ethnically black, quote unquote, and we're going to discuss what that means or what that's supposed to mean. And yeah, she pretty much marketed herself as an African American and, you know, has built up a legend. You know, with photographs and, you know, and really going all the way in terms of, you know, getting, you know, the law enforcement involved by claiming that she was the victim of racial attacks. The Aboriginal Press News Service actually reported on a few of the things that she was saying that was happening to her in Spokane. And that is now being looked at a little deeper because it turns out that she's made several of these claims over the years. And that she even went as far as to sue. She took Howard University to court, a traditional black college in the United States. She actually went so far as to take them to court to sue them for discrimination, saying that they discriminated against her as a white person in the United States. So right behind that, or right after that, she, you know, starts to live as a black person in the U.S. And it's very confusing. And she's really given a lot of ammunition in terms of hate, in terms of what we get from conservatives in the United States. You know, many Republicans who claim to be non-racial, anti-racist, and so on. But they're really kicking, you know, African people in the ass right now in terms of comments and vitriol. And it's really, really telling. So we're going to speak to a post-racial community activist right now, Sinclair Skinner, who also turns out to be an alumni of Harvard University and Tuskegee. I mean, you know, he has gone to the school in which he's claiming that she was discriminated against. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, they're all white people who go to traditionally black colleges. Traditionally, black colleges do not discriminate, at least not in that sense. You know, do these people face, prejudice, bias, animosity within the school system, within the social system there? Probably. Being a minority? Probably. With the history of the United States? Probably. But I would like to hope that, you know, many of the brothers and sisters that go to our higher education centers would carry themselves better than that. But, I think I've said enough to kind of warm this in, because we all know the story. And, Sinclair Skinner, like I said, is a post-racial community activist. He's also, you know, pretty much into Bitcoin, which means he follows the economic systems, you know, pretty closely, and knows how African people are treated, probably, you know, way better than most people do on the economic scale. In the U.S., because there aren't too many folks to do that without, you know, basically saying, you know, repeating or regurgitating what they've read in the Wall Street Journal. But, you know, enough of that. Sinclair Skinner, welcome to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
What's your take on this, you know, as an African-American man, as an alumni of Harvard University, you know, as someone who considers himself to be post-racial? You know, what's going on with, you know, through your mind when you see the Rachel Dozier scandal because it's not over. It's not over. She's really jockeying now between two and one person has told me three studios to want to give her a reality show. And she's currently looking for representation. She's openly looking for representation. She's in New York right now shopping around to find an agent and a publicist.
Yeah, I think this is really fundamental. I think, you know, being post-racial or looking at oppression, looking at what, you know, on principle, what people do and holding them accountable for that. You know, lying is lying. I mean, this is, you don't have to have any degree. You don't have to, no matter what color you are or what other thing you claim to be, a lie is a lie. And that's something you learn with a little kid. This woman has been lying and she's been deceitful, intentionally. That's just wrong. So to even start entertaining what she lied about and her rationale for lying, fundamentally is unacceptable for her to lie. And then to be in positions of power and lie, you're even held to a higher standard. And then once you, if you find out that you were lying or you made a mistake, you should be human enough to admit your mistake and then correct it, not continue with more lies. So fundamentally, you know, to even start to get into the shades of gray or black or white, it really, to me, misses the fundamental thing that's taking place here, and that someone is a liar and a deceitful human being. And that's, no matter what race she was claiming, that's unacceptable. And for us to somehow allow this to be caught up in some type of racial benevolence or trying to I think we're more mature than that, and I think we are more sophisticated than that, and we deserve, no, all people who are going through oppression deserve better than a lie, a deceit and deception is somehow what we need to help fix our problem. We'll never lie, cheat, and steal our way out of oppression. It doesn't work that way. So I think even going into the conversation about exactly what she did on what day is to really miss the fundamental thing that's wrong about this. And it's unacceptable no matter what color, whatever she claimed to be. A liar is who she is, no matter what we end up deciding on the rest of it. And that's unacceptable.
All right. Well, like you said, that's a given, you know, that she's a pathological fibber. That, you know, I mean, there's a lot of... there's a lot that goes into doing what she did, because she didn't actually change her identity. She changed her ethnic claim to identity, I suppose we could say, because she's really put the discussion here into a really funky state, because a lot of racists are taking advantage of this, and they've conflated this to Caitlyn Jenner, which, you know, there's a lot that can be said about Caitlyn Jenner in the sense that she's a card-carrying, you know, really strict Republican and has pretty much given a pass to, you know, things like legitimate rape and, you know, the simple bias in voting and just the comments and the things that are being said by Republican politicians, you know, in office and those that have recently left office. And she also says that she's a devout Christian, and she hasn't really said too much about evangelical Christianity, especially within the Republican Party, and their, you know, attitude and their animosity, really, towards transgender people just like herself. You know, the GOP hasn't talked about any of that. Instead, they have conflated the idea that, you know, you really can't switch genders, which is really a separate issue from this idea, right, of people claiming, you know, that they can, you know, jump races. I mean, it's one thing that when we look at the educational departments around the United States and Canada, and you'll see Europeans, ethnic Europeans, who are experts in Asian history, Asian studies, African history, African studies. And African history and African studies are new disciplines that black people argue for. But yet you still look at the heads of many of these departments and, you know, they're European. You know, there's a lot of questions with this, especially since, you know, a lot of the bigots that are really making a muck of this are pointing out that the NAACP somehow was fooled or wanted to be fooled. Larry Elder's making this out to be an example of liberal stupidity, when the NAACP was founded by two white men, the Spengler brothers, two Jews actually, in Boston, and has always worked with white people. And matter of fact, one of the previous presidents in Spokane, Washington, was Caucasian. So, you know, for you who is post-racial, who defines themselves as post-racial, how do we have a discussion, you know, a real discussion about this and leave emotions out of it and try to be objective about where colonialism actually fits into this and the Europocentric drive to maintain some sense of racial hegemony?
Yeah, so I don't understand or know anything about transgender anything. I'm heterosexual. I don't know what that stuff is. I don't think nobody need to beat them people down. I don't think they need to be anything needs to be done to oppress anyone, no matter what they're into. But I would say that to compare what Bruce Jenner's transformation to Caitlyn, he actually did something and said he did that. So fundamentally, you know, if you're whatever you think about that lifestyle, this person has been is very clear and said who he is and what she is. Fine. You can agree to disagree with that, but fundamentally they're telling you where they stand and who they are. In the case of this woman, she's a liar. She's deceiving. So I'm saying I don't even get to the point about the comparison, because again, if she wanted to be anything or wanted to help anyone, she doesn't have to lie about any of these things. I think you're reinforcing the point that it wasn't like she was a member of the Black Panthers. She was a member of a multiracial organization that's for the advancement of colored people. Now, she didn't have to lie. She chose to lie. Mm-hmm. Now, if people want to try to now make that somehow connected to the liberation of a people, then I think that's just, not only is it ridiculous, it's disingenuous, and really it's not connected to it. This woman is a liar. She probably is going to lie about many other things. She has not even had the decency, out of respect for the space that she's in, to even just straight out admit that she lied and at least try to somehow compensate or, you know, do something to rehabilitate the wrong and hurtful things she's done. So that cannot be tolerated in any community. You can't just lie and then walk around thinking that's okay and there's no consequence. Of course she should step down. I don't care who she was, she should have stepped down after doing that. I just think we're allowing our enemy, our adversaries will use all kind of things to try to color their position. I'm not going to fall into that trap. I'm not going down the rabbit hole with no fools now. It's going to distract the hell out of us. We need to call a liar a liar, and we need to keep doing the good work to free and liberate as many people as we can. These are distractions. Can we talk about it? Yes. Is this something that's happened? Yes. But to invest more time into calling a liar what they are, a liar, to pontificate, to try to now color this in some big grandiose thing, I think there are probably other things that would be more helpful to free and liberate people than talking about a lying, conniving, deceitful person who used it to advance their own agenda. That right there, we should just use as a teaching tool to our young people. This is unacceptable. You shouldn't lie, cheat, or steal. And whatever God you pray to, you think that God's going to tell you to go lie, cheat, and steal to get your blessings. That's not the God I serve. You need to stop that, and let's keep focused on how do we help empower people. Lying does not empower people. And as has been seen, it's a distraction from the real issues. Not for what our adversaries talk about, because they're going to talk crazy anyway. I'm saying we got good people spending good time when we could be building, talking about a lying white woman. It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous.
This is where I wanted to go with this. Khalif Browder commits suicide here because he was brutalized by the prison system. And it turns out that he may not have done anything. He maintained his innocence throughout this entire ordeal. And they did not let him get his head together. He was never able to get his life together.
So he told the truth. He decided that he was going to stand by his convictions. We need to elevate that behavior. Again, even talking about post-racial, even if you didn't say that the fact he was a black man that experienced it, no person should have to submit to the oppressive government telling it they need to say they're guilty when they're not. And when people stand up to any principalities like that, we need to applaud, we need to laud, we need to elevate those folks. We don't just need to do sound bites and then go walk away. And I'm not saying that's what happened with this brother, but we don't do enough to spend time with the brothers and sisters that need to be loved by us. We spend time talking about our hate for liar, no good thieves. Now, again, I'm willing to call a liar a liar. So I'm not afraid of that. We're clear what a liar is. But the energy that takes me to go through all that may be better spent loving another person that's going through what Brother Bauer is going through, because they're out there. And I think we need to use these moments to pivot, not to ignore. We need to hold people accountable. It's unacceptable to lie in our community. To lie on us is unacceptable. We need to stop playing that game. It's unacceptable. Now, let's spend our time reinforcing and supporting those people that need our help and support. So as an activist, these moments, we're better served to using these moments to take that energy that's being used to debate what she did, why she did, and use that energy to say, you know what, this woman lied, but this brother told the truth, and he suffered for it. What could we do more to make sure no other people suffer like that? I'm not saying it's really not a big jump to me. I think when you're an activist or in this space, freedom is not a destination. As long as the oppressor is out there, your freedom is something we're going to have to continually, it's a journey that we're going to continually be on. And I'm willing to take that journey because I know I don't have to be in the bush with AK-47 like some of our predecessors. What we can do is speak truth to power, organize, and really use the media, technology to empower folks and love folks properly. So I think this woman's issue is a great way to elevate the fact that we need to hold people accountable in all positions for lying. And then we need to take that moment, like you just did, bring up Brother Bauer, who stood up on truth, on principle, and ended up being killed by a system that we pay with our tax dollars to support. Not a system, not by ISIS, not by the Klan. He was killed by a system that we pay tax dollars for and vote for folks in order to supposedly improve our lives. But that didn't happen. We failed that brother. We need to correct that failure. Now, that woman, the only failure we would have if we don't hold her accountable for being a lying, deceitful human being. Now, we'll fail our obligation if we let her get away with that. But if they want to call it a race thing, or I call it a lie thing. Don't lie to me. It's unacceptable.
All right, but I still have to ask, though, you know, post-racial implies beyond race. But the fact that Rachel Dolezal has totally knocked Khalif Browder out of the news, the fact that Albert Rudfox, 43 years in the box in Louisiana, you've had a fourth judge who said the man should be released. He's still in the box. Mamiya, they're trying to kill him by letting him die slowly. Leonard Peltier still sits in prison. If we're going to talk about transgender people, I don't hear anybody talking about Chelsea Manning, who is part of the reason that we understand what is happening in Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan. The chaos that's going on.
Yeah, I brought up that to Stacey and Max today, Chelsea Manning. All I got to say to you, racial problems don't have racial solutions. Racial problems have post-racial solutions. We're not going to race our way out of this. I'm not going to be able to out-black somebody to make somebody else stop doing what they're doing. I need to do things based on principle. I need to say wrong is wrong, and then I don't care if you black or white, I'm going to hold you accountable. There's no way you're going to press people without some people within that own community participating in it. And so often we let those people off the hook because we talk about white supremacy. Well, then let's all the black lying, thieving sellouts off the hook. Why? Because they're not white. And then we get some allies who are clear what oppression is, and you say white supremacy. Now they don't participate because they think you're talking about them. I'm saying you can get real. We can hold on to 1970s rhetoric in 2015, or we can realize the shortcomings of that rhetoric and actually do action and words that meet what our real goals are. So at the end of the day, I think the Congressional Black Caucus is terrible. If you look at all the places where these black men have been brutalized, they had congressmen that like the people who've been getting killed. They've done nothing. Now you say white supremacy, then we don't know who you're supposed to hold accountable. But if we say we don't need any more people leading us astray who are sellouts or no good, who don't care about us, then everybody's clear about that. If you call a politician corrupt, no one's going to be confused. Now, you say this is white supremacy. Now we get into a whole silly debate that we did through the 80s and the 90s. If I call a politician corrupt, everybody knows what that means, no matter what color, what country. Well, I'm going to use words and deeds and hold people accountable for both. And I'm not going to get caught up in silly stuff that don't work no more. So when I say post-racial, I'm clear we're not going to race our way out of this. We're going to stand on principle, though. And I don't care who you are, we're going to hold you accountable. If it's a black cop shooting a black person shooting, you're not going to shoot my brother for nothing. I don't care who you are. So that's what we got to be mindful of. How do we move forward in our conversation of how to make this a better place for all of us to live, and what works and what's failed us. And don't be afraid to retool and improve upon the people that we stand on shoulders of. They did the best they could with their understanding of the problem. But for me to use 1960 and 2015 is ridiculous. It's not even not progressive. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I mention Marcus Garvey quite often, but I don't rest on Marcus Garvey. Let me ask you, post-racial philosophy, as you understand it, connected to the colonial situation that we're stuck in as people of color, as people of African descent, in North America in 2015, where do we go from here?
Well, I tell you what, I just was in Northern Ireland in Belfast. They said that the English practiced colonizing on the Irish. They speak Gaelic. They refused those people to speak their language. They took their land. And they subdued those folks till they had famines and died off. So let me say this. I'm looking at these folks. They all look alike to me. I tell you, they're all white, blue-eyed. You couldn't tell what. But one group subdued the other group and colonized them. Now, again, when a man was saying, and they were willing to go to guns to shoot these English folks for taking them and destroying who they are. Sunday, bloody Sunday. They tried a host of ways to regain their freedom. All I'm trying to say, the freedom struggle is real, and people will use the construct of race, religion, sex. They'll use a whole bunch of things in order to justify the oppression and the killing and the exploitation. All I'm saying is, yeah, but I think we existed before race, and we're going to exist after race. And so using or depending on racial solutions is it's not even who we are as a people. So I think those are antiquated methods in order to resolve something that's fundamentally about people oppressing folks, harming folks, and using all kind of reasons and justifications for it. And we let too many people that look like us off the hook when we make it, we don't get down to the bottom line of principle. What's right, what's stealing, what's lying. And we would hold the Congressional Black Caucus especially accountable if we really looked at it like that. But they get a free pass because they look just like us. That's ridiculous.
Hey, I thought like that with Shirley Chisholm, you know?
Yeah.
When they dropped their support for her, I was like, wait a minute, man. You know,
The CDC didn't even support Obama. It was some little old white ladies in Iowa that made black folks believe that somebody with a Kenyan surname, Obama Luo, could even be president of America. So I'm not confused. I'll always respect those little old white ladies in Iowa. I don't know what got into them. They had a choice between an older white woman and a black man named Barack Hussein Obama. They picked Obama. Now, if we gonna judge that woman on she white or not, she stood up and pulled the lever for a dude named Obama. And I appreciate them forever. If they don't do anything else, I appreciate what the women in Iowa did. So that I don't diminish that. I don't glorify them, but I'm clear what they did on principle was right.
Okay.
So, you know, just
going to
be mindful, I think.
Okay, that's cool. Let me throw this one at you before we ease on out of here.
Yes, sir.
Besides the fact that Rachel Dolezal claims that, she is part Native American, apparently, supposedly, according to her family history, but she also claims that she was raised in teepees and played with bows and arrows. You know, Cherokee people didn't use teepees, so, you know, that's another ding. But she's also now, I've seen here about an hour before I got on the line with you, that she's also claiming to be a founding member of the Bad Brains out of D.C.
Yeah, I've never heard of the Bad Brains, but I don't, a person who's a pathological liar like that, they don't deserve our audience. They really don't. They deserve our condemnation for their actions. We need to condemn those actions. And hopefully she'll repent. Hopefully she'll apologize and try to make amends as what adults should do. But she doesn't. She deserves to suffer from those consequences. But again, there's not anything that would come out of her mouth I would listen to or agree to. It doesn't make any sense. We shouldn't.
Yeah, well, I'm sure her publicist will give her some tips on what to say. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Brother Sinclair Skinner, post-racial community activist. You can find his work at sinclairskinner.com, and you can find him on the Twitters at Skinner.
Skinner Liberated. So Skinner, and then the number 8, and then ED.
Go ahead and find it, man. I follow him on Twitter. You should too. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please stay tuned.
Hey, this is Vagabond producer, writer, and director Machetero. You're listening to The Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Gloria, at the festival, you worked for the Independent Research Service.
That's right.
Well, exactly when did your own association with the CIA start, and in what fashion? Did they come to you, or did you go to them?
In 1958, when I came home from India, I discussed with student leaders, past and present, many of them active with the National Student Association, this kind of small foundation to encourage Americans to go. They thought it was a good idea, too. I was then told by foundations and professors and friends that I should not do this, that I would get in trouble with the House on American Activities Committee, the American Legion, all of those 50s people. And I became convinced that it was impossible. It was at that point that the student leaders said to me that they had in the past received funds for international programs from the CIA and that they felt that this was important and could also be partly funded by the CIA.
Well, I mean, did you feel that you really tried? I mean, did you go around to all of the wealthy private foundations, wealthy private people, and explain your point of view and explain why you felt it was important that the United States be represented at these things in a certain way? What did they tell you?
They told me that, well, the Ford Foundation, for instance, told me that they thought we were too liberal and too controversial and that we would endanger their cultural programs in Austria. I mean, the first festival was being held in Vienna. It was not encouraging at all. And the private individuals to whom I went often had particular points of view to put forward, which would have been much, much more restricting than the CIA funds were, which were free. I mean, no one was told what to say.
What do you mean they were free? You mean to say it was easier for you to work for the CIA than a private organization?
That's right. That's right. And the reason I think that comes as a surprise, as it did to me at the time. I mean, I had the conventional liberals' view of the CIA as a right-wing incendiary group. And I was amazed to discover that this was far from the case, that they were enlightened, liberal, nonpartisan activists of the sort who characterized the Kennedy administration, for instance.
You have not been working now for the CIA since 1962.
Mm-hmm.
You still criticize. You were down recently in Washington.
Yes, when the story broke that I had once been, that I have for 4 years been a Central Intelligence agent, I was demonstrating outside the Pentagon underneath Mr. McNamara's office against bombing in Vietnam, and this didn't precisely fit with the image of a CIA agent. But then, neither does the CIA.
America del Norte.
Broadcasting to the fourth world from within occupied North America.
Estás escuchando a los indios Angry sobre los sistemas inteligentes aborígenes radio.
I'm gonna stand until I can't stand no more. If I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of color organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POCorganize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Yo, what's up? My name is Jasiri X, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really responding to the call, man, of my sister Rosa Clemente, you know what I'm saying? For Men in Hip Hop, really stand up and say, like, rape under no circumstances is acceptable, you know what I'm saying? Rape shouldn't be rapped about, it shouldn't be supported, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really feeling like, you know, especially after Rick Ross came out today and said what he said, you know, he didn't use the word rape, but he described a scenario in which, you know, he put something in a woman's drink and had sex with her, and she didn't consent. If you have sex with a woman and she didn't consent, that's rape. And we have to say no to rape. And beyond Rick Ross, whether it's Fox News or their viewers attacking Zelina Maxwell for asking men to stop raping women, whether it's Hollywood, you know, perpetuating, you know, this rape culture, you know, it's got to stop. It's really, you know, we got to take personal responsibility as men. My name is Jasiri X. This is One Hood.
Este es Radio Insurgente, voz del Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional,
transmitiendo desde las montañas del sureste mexicano.
Roseanne Cash, for the American Association of Diabetes Educators.
Johnny Cash was my dad. For years, he had diabetes but ignored it, even as his vision and health slipped away. Diabetes is serious. It can steal your sight, your limbs, even take you away from the people who love you. But it doesn't have to be this way. If you have diabetes, test and control your blood sugar regularly. You'll be healthier and you'll feel better too. To learn more, visit healthywithdiabetes.org.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African-American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year or whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African-American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck, it's What's for Demagogue.
Come on, chillin'. That's what we're talking about. We need a little help. Can't do this y'all alone. Thank God for this. Lick. Jim Brown, y'all. Yes, this your evening. One more time, we the ask on the children for get up. Get into them. Get involved. All 100 children, when I have to come down here to the Gullah Geechee Nation, and so glad that 100 to tune in to we Gullah Geechee Rhythm Radio Station. 100 children know this your the head from the body of this your nation and the heart of we station. Queen Quest, come on, children. Get involved. Get involved. Get involved to the Gullah Geechee Sea Island Coalition. The sponsor of this year, radio station. Hunter Chillin, this year the Wee Show, Gullah Geechee, Rhythm Radio. Come on, y'all.
I know how you feel, but that's no reason to get unwired.
I want out.
You can't walk away.
Why not?
Responsibilities.
Man, I don't owe you for nothing. I am my own man.
Your own man.
Bad crap. I own you.
Man, you know what you are? You're meat. Just because you got a little money now, you forgot where you came from and what you are. Well, I'll tell you, you're nothing but a nigger living in somebody else's world. Don't forget what I just finished saying to you.
I won't ever forget it.
Hey there, Georgie girl. Swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there
inside you.
Hey there, Georgie girl. Why do all the boys just pass you by? Could it be you just don't try? Or is it the clothes you wear?
You're always window shopping but never stopping to buy.
So shed those dowdy feathers and fly. Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change there'd be. The world would see a new Georgie girl. Life is a reality, you can't always run away.
Don't be so yourself. It's time for jumping down from the shell. A little bit. Hey there, Georgie girl. There's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide. And oh, what a change there'd be. The world would see a new Georgie girl.
Hey there, Georgie.
Not prepared for black people to, in the end, begin to demand their rights and an equal share in this country, which they've died for. Hey, and we definitely are not going back to Africa. For us to exist in the system, we must first of all realize we've got to form our own black America within, but without white America. Already we've begun to do this with this little handshake that we got that they keep trying to copy, and we keep improving on. When they go and get their hair fluffed out, we braid ours. We're doing our own thing. We are free. We have, first of all, got to protect our brothers and sisters from themselves and from those within the community that would rip them up. We have got to do this. We have got to stop sacrificing our sisters to the streets and our brothers to the drugs. So now, we have got to turn that around and take from them. I believe in taking. Go to school and get that knowledge. But get it with that black awareness always. What I'm saying to you is that you've got to carry this right on and power to the people, and black is beautiful, and black is now, out into your homes. Talk to your little brothers and sisters. Talk to your mothers and fathers. Talk to the people that you can relate to, and begin to lift this whole thing up on a total basis. We've got to side up to that sister, because that sister on the street corner is someone's sister. That little brother that thinks it's nice to be high, we've got to show him another alternative. We've got to take care of our present. We've got to take care of our future. Now we begin to create a black America within, but without white America.
Hi, this is Annie from Avoir Simone. You're listening to a Creative Commons licensed podcast.
DVD is for everybody, not just for the few. Anyone can share VD with some.
You're curious or confused? Get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
We are the Ku Klux Klan. We hate niggers. We hate Jews. We hate faggots. And we hate specs. We don't have to have a reason to hate. People need to get off your ass and wake up. This is America.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
This ends our news section.